Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Wednesday, Pod Besties. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, which pisses me off because we have Madison from Love is Blind Season 8 and also Perfect Match Season 3.
Woo-hoo. Hi, thanks for having me.
We are so excited that you are here because I feel like we saw you at Lala, and ever since then, we're like, wait, we need to get her on the podcast. So
I know, I saw you guys like three rows in front of me and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go say hi. Yeah. It was so fun.
No, I know. And we talked about that on the podcast and we were like, it's so crazy when you see someone on TV and then you meet someone in real life and it's like so different. Like it's hard to put two and two together, you know, because you're like, okay, I feel like I kind of know you because I just watched you on my TV. And then like I meet you and it's like, wait, I don't really know you, but I feel like I do.
I know.
Then sometimes you like start talking to someone, you're like, wait, you get like a different side of them. We are so excited that we met you and now you're on Out of the Pods.
Yeah. We're going to take it back all the way to the very beginning of your reality TV career. So let's talk about Love is Blind Season 8. Tell us, how did you get on Love is Blind? What made you want to sign up?
So actually I was kind of scouted. So I got like a Instagram DM and I was just like, oh, you know, whatever. I didn't really reply to it. And then I kept like that person kept like commenting on my stuff. So I went to her profile and I was like, oh, she kind of does seem legit. I'll at least respond. So then it was like a 5-minute phone call. And then you guys know how it goes. Then you have to like go through the whole process. And I just kept getting yeses and yeses. So that was like October of 2023. I think I finally took the call. And then I got the official, casting call that I made it, like literally 4 days before I left for the pods.
You only had a 4-day notice before you left for filming?
Yeah. So some people I think had like a week, and I don't know how they like make their decisions. I was like, was I an alternate? And they were like, no. So I don't know. But, I actually originally said no.
Oh, interesting.
Because,
why?
Yeah, I was just like, this just feels like too much all of a sudden. Like it was taking so long to get a yes. And they kept saying, oh, beginning of January, we'll tell you. Oh, beginning of like middle of January, like whatever. And so when I didn't hear back from them, I was like, okay, I'm probably not going.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, you know, started moving on with my life. And then I finally got the call and I was like, oh my God, like I've been in my head about like, this isn't for me. And so I was like, oh, thanks, guys. But like, I'm going to have to pass. And then they were like, oh, no. Okay. And then I get a call back from someone else. And they're like, hey, I just want to know, like, why'd you say no? And I was like, I just feel like it's so last minute. Like, I don't have, you know, the time to get everything together. Because you have to like pack for literally like two different, like the pod section and then, you know, the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have time to do any of this. That's so overwhelming to me. Like, whatever. And she was like, well, we really want you. So like, we'll do anything to get you here. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, just give me like a couple hours to like think about it. And if I have any questions, I'll ask. And then I finally was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah. Because when did you guys film again?
February of 2024.
Wow. Okay. You know, what's crazy is like, so for us, that sounds like a really short casting period.
Yeah.
Because we start casting for our season, which started filming April 2021. Mm-hmm. We start casting in March 2020. It was over a year until we actually went to go film the show.
Because of COVID and everything.
Yeah, because of COVID.
Okay, that makes sense. And I will say, I had been seeing Love is Blind being promoted in Minneapolis for like a year before that, like before. Yeah. And so, but I never like considered, oh, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Like if I hadn't been reached out to, like I wouldn't have applied, like nothing. Yeah.
It's crazy how just one split decision has changed your life though. Like had you had said no, like, I don't know, things would be so different. Do you regret saying yes at all or?
No, I mean, I think like, this whole process you can go one of two ways, right? Like, you can like let the fame get to your head, or, and I say fame like so loosely,
like our little Love Is Blind bubble
yeah.
fame.
Yeah, literally. Or you can like really use it as an opportunity to be like, okay, I'm seeing parts of me that, like, you know, maybe I'm not necessarily the happiest with, or I'm seeing like the worst versions of myself or whatever. And it's like, you can take that opportunity to grow. And I think this whole experience has truly been such an ego death for me, and so humbling.
Yes.
That like, I'm thankful for the opportunity for growth that it's given me. Genuinely, I have.
Yeah. Some of the most difficult times are the most like important lessons you learn about yourself and the people you mm-hmm. surround yourself with.
We have to talk about your time on Love is Blind, because I will say you were probably the most iconic cast member on that season, season 8, even though you didn't even like get engaged, which is so crazy.
No, literally, I came off like when I left the pods, I was like, oh, I dyed my hair pink. Like, I'm not going back on the show. I'm not getting any screen time. Like, you know, like I was like, oh, that was fun.
That is so funny. But I feel like all I remember is you and that love triangle you were with Alex and Mason. And I will say, I feel like that love triangle is like what made you iconic, because I think what the viewer saw is that you broke Mason and Alex's hearts. And so I think in that way, you were a little bit villainized as this like heartbreaker. But tell us your side of it, because we always know that there's more to the story.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, gosh, where do I even start? I think with Alex, my downfall was talking about my avoidant activities, like, you know, like my avoidant attachment style, because I think there were so many people that were projecting onto me, like their experiences with their avoidant partners. And it's like, they just kind of like, that just kind of put me in a box already, like up front. And yeah, I sometimes like, I think it opened a really great conversation online and whatever, but also it was like not to the benefit of me, mm-hmm. Which is fine. Like, I handled it. But yeah, when it came to Mason, there were a lot that like a lot of things that weren't shown. So I did really like him, but I did feel like our connection wasn't as deep as it was with Alex. And of course, they like to show like the two drastically different sides of me. And it's like, God forbid a girl have variety and depth, you know, God forbid.
God forbid.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. And it's like, of course, they're going to show you two very different sides of me, like the really fun, like, you know, kind of, I guess, sexual side that like Mason and I had going on. And then like with Alex, it was always like therapy talk and trauma and, you know, whatever. And so it's like, I had both of those conversations with both those men, but like, you have different relationships, right? So with Mason, it got to a point where, so Meg was very vocal in the pods, and I kind of like kept things close to myself. Like, I just, you know, didn't really talk about who I was dating, whatever. And she would just come out being like, oh my God, I'm getting married, like, whatever, whatever. Like, I knew she was dating Mason. So I was like, that's so interesting, because it just feels like he's kind of saying the same thing to both of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first, Meg, like when we got to the airport, she was like, oh my God, you're my girl. And I was like, okay. And then somewhere throughout the filming process, I remember like walking up to her and I was like, hey, Meg. Hey, Meggie Meg. And she was like, I was like, oh, okay. So noted, right? Yeah. And I was like, oh, like she probably figured out that we're dating the same people. I don't know. And that's fine. Like, we don't have to be friends. Like, I just took it with a grain of salt.
So when you say saw her at the airport, you mean before you guys got into filming? So like when you guys are all flying to the pods in LA?
Yeah. Yeah. So they put us all on the same flight.
Same for
and
us.
And we didn't really know that. Like, I remember I was sitting across the aisle from Virginia and I was like sussing her out. I was like, oh, I really, she looks like she'd be on Love is Blind. Like, she's gorgeous. Like, you know, like, and she, I walked in just like barely any makeup on, hair in a ponytail, and everyone's walking in like full glam. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't realize that I'd be seeing everyone today. But yeah, so we met at the airport. I mean, that's not like essential to the story, I guess, but it was just like a, you know, total 180.
Switch. Yeah. I feel like that's normal in the pods to be dating the same people, you know, and you just have to kind of like deal with it in a mature way. Because Meg had so much anger towards you at the reunion. And I know she got a lot of backlash from viewers about that because they're like, it's not your fault that Mason ended things with you. Like, he made that choice. Like, that wasn't Madison's fault. Oh my God, I'm getting all the names confused. Madison, I forgot it's like Madison, Mason, Meg.
No, literally, it's so confusing.
So I thought that was like very interesting. Like, were you surprised that she had so much anger towards you and blaming you for her and Mason not working out?
Oh, absolutely. Like, those three were in cahoots the whole time, and I had no clue. Like, so just to also, like, preface, in the pods, like, one of the things that was cut out was in the pods, after Alex and I made things official, she came to me, and she was like, hey, because I think she was feeling the same way. She was like, did he, like, she just wanted to know if he was saying the same things to us. I remember telling her, I was like, I will tell you what you want to know, but nothing more than that. Like, I'm not going to give you any more information. But like, girl to girl, like, yeah, you want to know, I'll let you know. Because this is serious. Like, you're getting engaged. You should know who you're getting engaged to. And so she was like, oh, like, did he say, has he said this to you? Has he said that to you? Like, you know, whatever. And I was like, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And it was like, it was things like, wow, I've never felt this way about someone before. Like, you know, whatever. So watching it back, I was shocked to find out that I was his number one. Like, genuinely, I was, because coming out of the pods, his story was that Meg was his number one the entire time. That's what everyone believed until everyone saw the footage. But I'm still the liar. Got it. and so, yeah, at the reunion, like, I remember I watched the season back, and it makes more sense if you have the context of Meg came to me and we figured out that, like, you know, he was saying the same things, and she was like, oh, I hate that. Like, she basically was telling me she's probably going to end it, but, you know, I don't, like, you could change your mind. You could have a conversation that changes everything. I don't know what she's really going to do, but that was kind of in her head. So when I come out of my breakup with Mason, I'm like, yeah, you probably won't be impressed, because I had this knowledge already of how she felt about what he was saying to both of us, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting when they both came at me with so much anger, because I had texted Meg after watching the season back, and I was like, hey, like, I just want to apologize, you know, for how things went down. Like, I'm glad you and Mason ended up getting back together, whatever. Like, I was just like, I just want to say I'm sorry. And, like, I hope we can move forward and talk about it if you want to. And she was like, I don't really want to talk about it, but thank you so much. Like, and it was, like, a really encouraging, like, text exchange. Like, I felt like we were finally, like, okay, we're good. And then I also ran into Mason. At a bar, because Minneapolis is so tiny. And he was just like, yeah, like, I apologize for everything that I put you through. Like, he apologized to me.
Interesting.
He was like, I'm so sorry. So these were both, like, Meg and I thought we were good. Mason and I thought we were good. I thought he was, like, taking accountability for the way that he two-timed both of us. Like, and he admitted that to me. Mm-hmm. It was so bizarre. So then coming in, and he's like, oh, I think it's funny you think I'm smart enough to manipulate you. That's manipulation, my dude. Like, yeah. I don't know. So it was just insane.
Did this happen? These conversations, did this happen before the reunion was filmed? So, like, you're watching the show back and you're having these conversations. So you're kind of like a little bit blindsided at the reunion too.
Absolutely. The only one that I was, like, kind of nervous about was Alex, because I knew that he would come in with lies and manipulation. Like, I, you know, and you can't really prepare for that, which I did with the receipts in my armpit, which they also cut out very important things that were in the text.
See, that's why I love these interviews, because they do edit so much out of the show and the reunion that you're like, wait, you need this context.
We did hear, like, about the show editing your receipts.
Yes.
And I think it's because there were allegations that came out while your season was airing about Alex. And we won't talk about it here, but our pod besties can go look it up. You could Google it and find it easily. And I'm sure you're aware of them too. But it felt like the show was trying to protect him from what was happening on social media, like the mm-hmm. allegations that were out there about him.
Or even protecting their own image, if I'm being honest.
I think it was very obvious to me because at the reunion, I did not get one single, Madison, do you have any questions you want to ask? Or how did you feel about this situation? It was like, it was just constant. I was defending myself the whole time. I didn't get to ask a single question of any of those three people. Like, I sat there and I defended myself, and that's how they wanted it. And the minute that I started asking my questions, it was like, well, you guys can talk about this outside. Like, you guys can figure this out at a later time. And then just wrapped it up. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you're like, wait, like, what just happened?
And so I was like, I think they're doing that in effort because they probably know that, like, I would bring something like that up.
Did you and Alex, I believe you guys connected after both of you got out of the pods. I believe, like, you guys met up at the airport, right? Like, how did that all go? Why didn't it work with you two?
Well, so yeah, the first message I got from him was from him. Like, it popped up right when I turned my phone back on. Mm-hmm. And he said something along the lines of like, oh my fucking God, or like, no way, or something like that. Like, just kind of insinuating like, oh my God, I didn't, you know, like, you're gorgeous.
Yep. Love is not blind, friends.
So, yeah, no, because literally it was like, you literally just broke up with me for a man. Mm-hmm. So what's going on? Like, I was just, and I remember just being like, didn't we just break up? Like, what are you doing? Like, stop sliding into my DMs. Like, you know, and he was like, please let me just give you a hug at the airport. Please, please, please. And so I was like, okay, like, I'll give you 10 minutes. So I got there. I, like, you know, put my bags. Like, I did whatever with my bags. And then he came. And I was just like, like, this is so weird, because all of a sudden he was so into me again. And like, he was just like, wow, you're so beautiful. Like, he was asking me, he was like, no, you should stay here in LA with me. Like, I'm going to be here for a couple more days, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I already, like, you know, put my bags on the conveyor belt, like, they're gone. He's like, no, like, I'll pay to get them back. Like, he was just so wanting me to, like, stay.
Thirsty.
And I was just like, no, like, we had our chance. Yeah, like, we had our chance and, you know, whatever. And so after that, I was just kind of, like, wary of his, I don't know, like, decision-making, if that's the right word. Because, yeah, he would, like, text me things about Meg and Mason, like, making fun of them and, like, whatever. And I would be like, oh, no, I'm happy for them. Like, I'm happy that they found each other again. Like, I do think they would be a good couple, like, you know, whatever. Like, I'm glad they were able to move past what happened in the pods. And, like, somehow I'm the one who's hating on them. But he was the one who was hating on them the whole time, but then pretending to be their friend at the same time. So, yeah, I think eventually he got caught in a lie, because he was telling me and Meg two different things. Like, he would come to me and be like, oh yeah, Meg's saying this about you and Meg's saying that about you. And then he would go to Meg and be like, oh, Madison's saying this about you and Madison's saying that about you.
That's so shady. Like, oh,
literally. Gosh. So finally, like, Meg and I just talked it out and we were like, that's not what I said and that's not what actually happened.
Was this after the reunion filmed?
No, this was right after the pods. Like, this was, like, probably a couple weeks out of the pods. So at one point at the airport, he was like, I was like, are you even friends with Mason? Like, do you even like Mason? Yes or no? And he was like, no, Mason's so weird. Like, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, hit a nerve with Meg. And she was like, oh, well, like, why would you say Mason's weird to Alex? And Alex was like, I never said that. So we were all three at the same bar. I was like, Alex, come here. I said, did you or did you not say that Mason is weird? And he was like, oh, I don't remember. And it's like, well, with me, you did say that. But when you're talking to her, you didn't say that. But now you don't remember. So it was, like, very obvious that he lied. Yeah. And then the next day, Meg goes, talks to him. She's like, oh, yeah, we cleared things up.
Wow.
And I was once again the enemy.
Yeah. And you were put out as an outsider. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did want to ask you about drama on your season that you're not a part of. The whole Joey, Sarah, and Monica situation. Are you shocked that Joey and Sarah are in a relationship? And are you more on like Sarah's side or Monica's? Because I feel like the cast is kind of like they're in this place where they're choosing sides.
Yeah, no, Monica and I are still good friends. I was absolutely not shocked by that because there was, I think it was the summer. It was sometime in the summer. Taylor and Daniel were having a housewarming party, so they invited all of us. And we went out to like the bars after that. And I remember talking to Sarah and she was like, yeah, like Joey and I actually, like he was like my number two in the pods. And I texted him, like, just kind of seeing, like, if he wants to get coffee, like, you know, just kind of seeing if we would want to make it work. And so it was, like, literally, so, like, we got out of the pods February. They went on, like, I think filming wrapped end of March, early April. And then that summer, they were kind of already, you know, so anytime we would hang out with them, they were all over each other. Like, it was, like, so obvious. And, yeah, like, so, no, not shocked by that whatsoever.
Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well,
thank you for that clarification, because Sarah and Joey have obviously said publicly, like, oh, yeah, no, this is, like, new. It happened after the show. So, clearly, that's not truthful. But anyways, drama, you know, we just wanted drama, your opinion on it.
And you know what? Yeah.
You guys don't even know. It's crazy.
Do you feel like you're still not wrapped up in the drama at all? But like, obviously it's been some time now. You've already been on Perfect Match. Is it nice for you to like just kind of leave Love is Blind, your season, behind you?
Yes and no. Like, obviously when my season of Perfect Match came out, people were like, oh my God, especially like being matched up with Freddie, who's like the golden boy of Love is Blind. You know, like everyone was like, run away, like, you know, whatever. Cause they have this like certain perception of me based off of an edit. And I think that was like really hard for me to watch. Like, you know, my first show kind of bleeding into my second show. But I think as far as like the drama of it all and whatever, no, like I've had some cast members try to like bait me into reactions online, like post, like sub post me, you know, like just all these things. And I'm like, I really don't care. Like I've moved on and I'm on to bigger, better things. Like I'm not going to give you the attention that you want.
Yeah, no, that's the perfect attitude to have because you don't want to be sucked into that. And it just not fun. Yeah.
No, well, I'm just like, I'm over it.
Yeah. Well, let's get into Perfect Match because obviously that's your latest show. Tell us like when and how did you get casted for Perfect Match season 3?
So I think it was mid to late April. I got a call from someone I had worked with on casting for Love is Blind. And she was like, hey, have you heard of the show Perfect Match? And mind you, like up to this point, I didn't think I was like a main part of the cast. Like,
oh, wait, this was after filming Love is Blind. And so before your season came out. So they are casting you right as you like left the pods pretty much.
Yeah, no, I had no clue what my edit was going to be on Love is Blind. But I was like, obviously, I made some sort of a splash. But I still at that point, I was like, I didn't think I would be such a core part of especially the first 6 episodes the reunion. Like, no, it literally I was like tired of seeing myself on the screen. Like I could not.
We
catch
weren't.
A break. Thank you. So, yeah. And then I just like kept going through the process. And one of the executive producers that was on Love is Blind, he was executive producing Perfect Match. So I already kind of had that connection. And he was just like, I loved you on your season. You're incredible. Like, let me do my job kind of thing. And then, yeah, I kind of figured that I was part of the like OG cast, like the first 10 people in the house, because I'd gotten notified like 3 weeks before leaving. So I had tons of time to like, you know, get my hair done and get my nails done and pack and buy everything that I needed to buy. And then, yeah, flew out to Tulum, did my big one, left.
No, we love that. I mean, I feel like Perfect Match is where viewers really got a different side of you, especially because on the show, you weren't involved in any drama. It just felt like you and Freddie and, you know, you guys were just doing your own thing on the show. But how did you and Freddie connect on the show? Did you see his season of Love is Blind UK?
No, I actually had no clue. So, I mean, after filming Love is Blind, I could not watch any reality TV, especially any seasons of Love is Blind that came out. So season 6 came out right when I was getting out of the pods, couldn't watch it. Yeah. Like the UK season came out that summer, couldn't watch it. Like I just like, I was like, I can't, you know, what I don't know can't hurt me. Yep. And so going into it, and I hadn't seen any other like Too Hot to Handle, like none of those shows. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I actually had no clue who, like, anyone was besides AD, just because, you know, she's in the Love is Blind world. And so when I went to put myself on a date, I was looking at, like, their little bio. So you get, like, information on each of them. So there was one guy on there from Too Hot to Handle, and he was just like, oh, kissing's a prerequisite. Like, I love kissing. I love physical touch. Like just it was like very like that, and like I'm not like that. Like I'm just like don't touch me until I'm comfortable with you. And then there was like JR, which his season hadn't come out yet either, so I didn't know any of the lore that happened there, but his whole bio was like, I love weighing my food and I work out every day. And I was like, okay, like No, not for me. Like,
that's funny.
You know? And then there was Freddie. And it was like, he is a funeral director, which I thought was very interesting. He loves to stargaze. Like, he wanted to be an astronomer when he was a kid, which I also did, which was crazy. And yeah, like he had a car named the Purple Dinosaur. Like, his whole bio was just like so sweet and wholesome. Yeah. And so, honestly, that's why I picked him, because I was like, all these other guys, like, I just don't think I would get along with them. Like, you know, and but Freddie, he seems really sweet. So I'm going to choose him. And then, yeah, I didn't watch his season until after I left and got back from Tulum.
Okay. Well, okay. So your relationship, like Natalie mentioned before, it just seemed so drama free. It was almost like you and Freddie against the house, like you're just chilling. But was it actually like that in real life? Or like, was there anything that wasn't shown? Like, tell us a little bit more about the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think Freddie and I definitely went through a feeling of like isolation in the house, because a lot of the time, you know, like we were just chilling, like just with our, with each other, like, you know, whatever, like we really enjoyed spending time with each other and whatever. And a lot of the couples were fighting like almost every day, you know? So I think there was just like a little bit of a unrelatability there for them. And I think that at one point, Julia actually told me, she was like, hey, like you guys have a big target on your back. And I think that was like the moment that I was like, oh my God, like, I don't have friends in this house, which was hard. So yeah, I think Freddie and I both felt that way. But I'm so thankful for him during that time, because like we really truly did rely on each other. Like he was my rock. And, you know, I think there were some things I saw online of like, oh, she was forcing it, he didn't like her, which maybe I could understand from the edit, but there were so many things that they didn't show. Like Freddie planned a whole date for me. Like he put like a scavenger hunt together and like around the house, and then it led up to like the balcony, and he had like s'mores, like a s'mores board and like craft supplies so we could have like an art night together. Like, you know, he did a lot of stuff like that. He was very sweet, very like affirming and just kept telling me, he's like, yeah, like, I'm only here for you. Like, there's no one else that I would want to be with here. Like, you know, whatever. But they really only showed me saying those things or me doing those things or for whatever reason.
Yeah. Maybe it was like to show a different side of you, because we kind of saw Freddie do that on his season where he is very like sweet too with his partner. And so I actually really loved seeing that side of you because I think it's very different than, you know, your time on Love is Blind. You're like, hey, like, I hate all these men. Let me get out of here.
It's so funny because people don't understand the timeline of when those things were filmed. So, like, obviously Love is Blind was filmed that year, February, and then Perfect Match was filmed that year in September. So they're like, wow, you had so much growth and you did so much growing and whatever. And it's like, no, you just saw a different side of me. Like, you saw what I'm like when I'm with a very secure man, when I'm with a man who is so kind and so sweet. Like, you saw me with someone who wasn't toxic. Yes. Like, that's the difference. There was not a lot of time in between those. Yeah, of course I grew or whatever, but not that drastically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm still the same person.
Right. That was just proof that you really do glow differently when you're being loved correctly, you know?
Exactly.
And that was pretty evident. But I had no idea that literally you didn't even see your own season before going to Perfect Match, which is kind of wild because I feel like you're just being thrown into something else without seeing the product of what you've just gone through, which is really hard. So I commend you for like going in there and owning it and just being you.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I think I would have, I preferred it that way, honestly, because I don't know, seeing the amount of backlash that I got on Love is Blind, I don't know that I would have like had the courage to do it. Actually, no, you know what? I probably would have.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I would have been like, fuck the haters.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm doing again. I'm gonna,
yeah, but I think I would have been more in my head and less authentic, you know, like less like, I don't know if I would have like put myself on a date like that or, you know, just more scared of the backlash that I would receive.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You know, knowing that Freddie is based in the UK and you're obviously based in the US, did you guys talk about your relationship's future? Like, what would happen beyond the show?
Yeah, I think we just kind of left it really open-ended. Like, we were going to continue to see where it went after that. But we were really understanding of the fact that, you know, he has his family in Manchester and his brother. And I mean, his career, he loves his career. Like, he, you know, he might be an influencer, but he doesn't like see himself not working in that career field. So, it was definitely like a, if this is going to work, I would have to move, which I was open to. But I just don't think we ever got to that point where like you could make such a move like that. Like, I think it kind of like getting out of the pot or getting out of the house, we like real life just hit us and the time difference was super hard, and you know, it just became evident that like we were probably just better off as friends.
Domestic long distance is really hard, so I can't even imagine like across the pond and you kind of have all the elements against you, but would you say that distance was probably the primary reason for you guys breaking up or not progressing the relationship further?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had booked a ticket to go visit him because we had talked about it for a while. So I flew back, I think like October 1st or something like that. And then I booked a ticket to see him.
Like, you flew back from Perfect Match filming?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so I flew back to Minnesota from Tulum like beginning of October, and then I booked a ticket to go visit him in Manchester in November, and literally the night I booked it, like, we had talked about it and then he went to bed and then I booked the ticket like while he was sleeping, and then I woke up and he had texted me. He's like, hey, can you call me? I was like, oh yeah, sure. And he's just like, hey, I just want to let you know that like, before you come, I just don't think I can do long distance. Like, it's already too hard for me. He's like, I just want to let you know, like, you're still welcome to come, but like, I just wanted to tell you that. And I was like, okay. So I canceled my ticket.
Yeah. And after hearing that, I'd be like, well, you know, I know I'm welcome, but it doesn't seem like I'm welcome. So no.
No, like, I'm not coming to be your friend. Like, we had more of a connection than that at that point. And like, especially me in breakups, I'm like, you are muted. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't, like, you know, and Freddie's not that way. Like, he wants to keep a conversation and just like check up on you and make sure that you're okay and stuff. But yeah, I think genuinely it was the distance and it was just really hard. And I think trying to form a relationship starting out with distance, just honestly, everything was working against us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when your relationship formed like being with each other 24/7. And then all of a sudden now you guys are not only different time zones apart, but so far apart, like a long plane ride apart. I can't even imagine like going through that transition. And, you know, it's always, I feel like though, it's like this blessing in disguise of like, at least he knew he couldn't do it and told you before you went on this long flight to go visit him. I think that would hurt a little bit more of it ending some point after.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I was thankful that he told me, and like, obviously I respected his choice and his decision.
Yeah.
And I think if anything, like at the point that I went on Perfect Match, I was like pretty over any sort of idea of a relationship. And I think Freddie surprised me in all the best ways and was just like, oh, okay. Like, there are really good men out here too. And I think being able to see like a softer version of myself just like reminded me that that's still possible and that's still me. So I'm thankful for the time that we did have. And that's kind of how I see it. It's just like, I kind of needed that, you know, moving towards another relationship in the future or whatever to know that I'm capable of it still. But yeah, it's okay. We didn't work out. I think, like you said, blessing in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just picking back off of what you said earlier is like Freddie likes to keep in touch and you're kind of like, you know, I just need some distance. Where are you guys at now? Like, do you still chat often or tell me where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, it's not weird. Like if I get a text from him anymore or whatever, I think we were in LA together for the Perfect Match press and Netflix party. And I think that was like a really good like final closure of like that's the first time we're seeing each other since being on Perfect Match. And yeah, it was just like a nice little close the chapter kind of thing. So for a while, I didn't really want to text him and I didn't really want to like chat a lot. But I think now that like I've gotten over the whole situation and like, you know, I do still very much appreciate him and the person that he is. Yeah, like we'll chat every now and then. Like I know he was going through some things with his brother, so I was just checking in on him about that. And yeah, like Freddie and I will always have so much love and care for each other. Genuinely, we will. And I'm really thankful for that.
We love exes that are on good terms. You know, it doesn't really happen often on reality TV. So it's always nice to hear. But, you know, with the other cast members of Perfect Match, is there anyone that you're close to from that show?
I wouldn't necessarily say like close. Like obviously Freddie and I still like good friends. And I think the only person that I've like really kept in touch with has been Rachel. Rachel's like literally the kindest, sweetest human.
Yeah, she seems like it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think she's really the only one. I mean, sometimes like, you know, I was in Miami recently and so I like texted Juliet to be like, hey, we should meet up. And it didn't end up working out because I was there for like my friend's wedding dress shopping. So I was like busy. But yeah, like I would still hang out with her and like have fun and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, she's a fun time. I met her when I went to Dubai and we got absolutely sloshed together and we're like just dancing to Beyonce. I was like, where are we right now?
But no, she's, I love Juliet.
Yeah, she's a good time. She's such good TV. She's such good TV.
She is. Yeah. People don't get that. People don't understand the difference between just being good TV and that being like who you are as a person, like especially the background she comes from. Like she comes from Siesta Key. Like that's kind of the TV, like that's what they wanted her for.
I love Siesta Key and I was like, that is literally Juliet. Like, come on, people.
Yeah. I feel like when she was on Siesta Key, like reality TV was her career at that point. So like for her, I feel like she has a different view of like, this is kind of my job and I need to show up and do my job, which means like you can't just be quiet when you're a reality TV show star. Like, you gotta bring something.
Let's ruffle some feathers.
Like, I mean, which, like, you know, we did need that. Like, we needed an element of, like, drama for sure. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think give Juliet a break. She, she is so, like, in real life, too. Like, she's so kind and she's, like, really funny and she's not like the person that people try to make her out to be on TV. Like, truly, she's not.
No, agreed. And no one should be defining your entire personality based on a few, you know, like moments of footage. Like, people need to just chill out. But were there any moments that never made the cut that you wish viewers could have seen on either show?
I mean, I think with the Meg situation, had that conversation between her and I of like discovering that Mason had been saying the same things and her reaction to that, I think if that had been in there, I probably wouldn't have gotten the amount of backlash that I did. Maybe not, I don't know, but I do think that that would have been more enlightening because it's kind of awkward. Like, I just go into that conversation with Mason and I'm like, oh, like you could lose two things at once. And it's like, I'm not saying she's gonna break up with you. I don't really know what she's gonna do, but you at least owe her the truth. And then on Perfect Match, I mean, there was a lot that wasn't shown, especially between Freddie and I, because we just weren't giving the drama, you know, like we genuinely were just like so in our own little bubble. So I wish that they would have shown our connection a little bit more because it was really sweet. And I think that obviously, Perfect Match is more drama focused, but I do think that people really love a good love story.
We do.
Yeah, we do. I did want to reference some drama that was cut out from the show. I think it was something AD mentioned initially on her podcast where she asked Sandy, both of them were on Perfect Match with you, where like, who is most likely to start drama in the villa? And Sandy mentions your name about something you started. But what was that in reference to? Because I think you did clear it up with a TikTok at some point. So I just wanted to see if like you could clear that up. Like, what were they talking about and why, you know, they would say that?
Yeah, so it's funny that that is like their perspective on the situation, because leading up to that, like what happened was I was talking to Alex and I was like, oh, like, how are you and Louie? Because they had had like a really, you know, intense connection.
I thought you were talking about Alex from Love is Blind. I was like, oh my gosh, Alex was there too?
Yeah, no. Alex from Temptation Island. Yeah. And so she was like, oh, yeah, like, we're good. We're just friends, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, I mean, just be careful because, like, he doesn't speak super kindly about you, like, when you're not around. Like, I would just be careful. And that's all. Like, I was just kind of warning her. And she, like, goes to Louie and she said, I heard you talking shit about me. And he's like, who said that? And she said, Madison. And he doesn't even listen to, like, what the whole conversation was or anything. And so he comes over at me. I'm just sitting there talking. And he's like, you need to keep my name out of your mouth. And I'm like, I was so confused. I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, what is happening? Like, I genuinely had no clue what had just happened until finally, like, Alex was like, well, yeah, you said he was talking shit about me. And I was like, I didn't say that. I said he didn't speak kindly about you, but he wasn't talking, like, I don't know, maybe we have different definitions of what that is. And so, he, like, Louie screaming at me, I start screaming back at him. but apparently, I guess it's my fault. I started the fight. I just warned a girl that this man doesn't talk kindly about her when she's not around. She went, told him, and he comes screaming at me, and I started the fight.
Yeah. See, no good deed goes unpunished, really, because...
No, truly.
Right? Like, you were just trying to be a girl's girl, but, like, Alex took that opportunity to kind of start shit, and that's not fair.
Thanks for clearing that up. Shifting away from Perfect Match and Love is Blind, through those experiences on both of those shows, like, did they change the way you date or kind of change, like, the type of person you want to date, like, the qualities you look for in someone?
I really... haven't been dating a ton because I think, you know, first of all, when like coming off of these shows and having everyone just like in your business all the time, it's just a lot to handle. So I think especially after Love is Blind came out and Perfect Match coming out, like I really tried to like just be by myself and like allow myself to grow. And I didn't want to have a partner at that time either that I would have to explain things to, you know, mm-hmm. like I didn't want to have to be like, oh, well, yeah, we did really have strong feelings for each other. But, you know, like I don't want to have a partner that has to like watch that happen.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine that mm-hmm. myself. But yeah, I don't know. I really haven't figured out the whole dating thing. Like, do you date people in reality TV? Do you not? Do you date people not? Like, I don't know. I haven't figured out the perfect equation. I've done both. Like, and, you know, it's not worked out so far. So
you just have to keep trying. Right now. Yeah. Oh, I love that. But, you know, me and Natalie are kind of in a similar boat and everyone thinks, oh, you did a reality TV show. So it must be so easy for you. Your DMs must be flooded. And it's like, no, look, listen, you are attracting the wrong type of people. And in fact, it's gotten harder to date people with the right intentions and who don't know who you are from a television show that you did. So we totally understand. And I think you're doing the right thing by just taking time to yourself and processing everything, and love will find you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Well, no, I was dating this guy for a little bit. And he's from reality TV. Okay. and he's not from the Netflix world. But yeah, he like ended up watching my season of Love is Blind. And like, I was just like, so distraught. I was like, that's just not like a good representation of who I am, like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, I get it. I think there are very edited parts of my story. And I was just like, just, you know, like, it's just like so highly edited. And I know that's such a cop out, but like, whatever. And he was like, no, I get it. Like, I've been there. I've been in that situation too. Like, totally get it. And so that was nice in like an understanding way. Or like when people are like commenting, like being thirsty under his posts or being thirsty under my posts, like we're not like, oh my god, like, you know, like we know how it goes. So it's not like we're threatened by any of that. So I think that was really nice, just having someone who kind of understands the reality TV world.
But you and this person, are you guys still seeing each other? What show is he from? Like, look, give us.
No, we actually just very recently kind of called things off. So
I'm sorry to hear that, but
it's okay.
Like you said, onwards and upwards, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing that's meant for me will miss me.
Yes. You'll never find peace in the place you're not meant to settle. So that's my favorite line. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you have learned about yourself through these experiences you've gone through?
It would be self-love. Like, I think that's such a, you know, broad term, and that can mean something different for everyone. But I think when you see yourself and how you handle situations, like, imagine, like, I mean, you guys get it. But like your worst dating moments being televised and picked apart and put under a microscope for the entire world to see and to watch and to judge. And it's like, not everyone's going to be perfect at all times. And like a lot of the times the viewers have such higher expectations for the people that they watch on their TVs than they do for themselves. And like just knowing that, I think helps me give myself grace because, yeah, like I did see parts of me that I was like, oof, like, you know, I still love that version of myself, but I can do better now. And I think self-love isn't just about like loving yourself when you do well. It's about loving yourself when you don't do well and when you fail. And like, that's the only way that you can move forward. And I think especially in this space, like there's a lot of positivity, there's a lot of negativity, but you have to find your own like equilibrium, because if you listen to the negativity all the time, that's not good. And if you listen to the positive, like the internet's constantly shifting, their perspective of you and opinion of you is always shifting. So it's like you have to find your own opinion of yourself and choose to love that version of yourself, like in all versions of yourself.
Yes, that was so beautifully said.
Thank you.
Aw, that's very sweet. Oh,
I love that. Okay, so between Love is Blind and Perfect Match, which one would you do again?
I would absolutely never do Perfect Match again. I was so traumatized on that show. Like, oh my gosh, I would never.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you said that, because I feel like viewers saw like a more positive, softer side of you where they're like, wow, she actually very much wants to be in a relationship. Like they saw that on Perfect Match. First Love is Blind, it felt like a, I don't want Mason and I don't want Alex, you know?
I mean, yeah, I think the pods were really fun. Like they were a really fun experience, honestly.
They are.
And like, you know, when I was back at the reunion, they had us holding in the pods and I was like, whoa, this is so crazy. Like, why am I kind of missing the pods right now?
Yes.
But like, yeah, I don't know. There's just something else about being in the house on Perfect Match, because it's like cameras are on you 24/7. Like you really just are in the elements, like, and it's a lot more intense, especially because I didn't go on the honeymoon, so I don't know what that was like for anyone. But yeah, it's just, it's a lot more intense, and it was so hot all the time. Like it was so freaking hot. I don't know. Like, it just was, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather get an air-conditioned pod versus, like, being super hot, you know, like, and trying to still look good for the cameras.
Yeah. No, like, there, when we were doing that, like, ball challenge, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 110 degrees outside.
Oh.
Like, it was brutal. I actually was, like, yelling. I was like, get me off of this fucking platform before I pass out. Like, I was like, get me off of here.
Yeah. At least the pods are safe and secure.
Exactly. Like, there's snacks, there's drinks. Like, you know? Like, you're not, like, wondering where you're going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, that's true. That, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, well, our last little segment here is going to be a little bit of like a rapid fire question section. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. The first one, who's your favorite couple from the entire Love is Blind universe?
Ooh, I would have to say Tiffany and Brett.
Yes, we love Tiffany.
I love
them. I loved their story. I really love Chelsea and Kwame as well.
Most underrated castmate on Love is Blind Season 8.
Honestly, I would say Virginia. That girl is so smart and so funny and so just like put together. And like, she didn't get the edit she deserved. Okay. Virginia.
Okay.
We love Virginia.
Yeah. Red flag you'll never ignore again.
A man who wants to be on reality TV.
Who do you think got a better edit than they should have from Love is Blind or Perfect Match?
I would say on Love is Blind, Joey definitely got a better edit than he should have.
Can you say why? I know this is rapid fire, but I was like, we need a reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, I think like just knowing the behind the scenes of everything that happened and whatever, like that man never truly was gonna get married, you know? Like he wasn't gonna get married. He went into it, like he had applied for The Bachelor before, he didn't make it, and then he finally got on Love is Blind, and while he was there he was like handing out these sunglasses from his own company to everyone. And then like right after the show comes out, he like launches like a electrolyte company or something. Like, I don't know. He wants to seem super genuine and he's just super not. And that's my opinion.
And that's the tea.
Yeah. That's the tea.
And we'll just leap like, there.
Yeah.
Biggest green flag in a partner.
I mean, number one, someone who loves my dog. Like, that is the biggest green flag. Like, you have to love my dog the same way that I love my dog. But also, I think someone who just, like, doesn't expect you to, like, change or be different. Like, I think when you get into a relationship with someone, like, you should just love all versions of them, even like the hardest, like darkest parts of them. Like, you have to learn how to love them. And I never want to be in a relationship with someone where like I feel like I'm too much or like I have to change or grow or, you know, whatever. I just fully want to be myself and be loved for that version of myself. So I would say that's the biggest green flag.
That's the best green flag. Okay, biggest ick.
I have so many icks. Oh my gosh.
I have a list of 101. we have a running list between my friend group and we'll just add random things. The last one we added was a guy on a Razor scooter.
Because why would you do that?
Why?
Like, why do you need why to be on you... one?
Like, sorry.
Or even a spin scooter. Get off.
Get off.
Walk.
Please. Yeah.
Literally.
So ick.
No. Honestly, like, sometimes I wonder if I like men at all because I'm just like, everything they do is an ick to me. Literally, like, why are you blonde? Why are you carrying a water bottle? Like, why are you late by yoga class? Like,
why did you just sneeze? Like, anything a man does, love it. Okay, next one. Kiss, marry, block. Freddie, Mason, Alex.
Oh, God. Okay. Ew. Okay.
Pass. I'm just kidding.
Kiss. I don't even want to give him the ego boost. Kiss Mason. But like with like a shield between us. Yeah. And derogatory. Like, obviously marry Freddie. And then I already have Alex blocked, so.
Oh, perfect. You already did it.
Yeah, no, he commented on like one of my posts and I was like, what the fuck? I thought I had you blocked. So I went and I blocked him.
If you had to pick someone from any season of Love is Blind to couple up with, who would it be?
That's a hard question for us to answer too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Natalie.
No, you know who I would choose? I would choose Brittany from season 7.
Oh,
she is gorgeous.
Yes.
And she's like so spiritual, baddie energy.
Yes. Okay, one last question for you, Madison. What is next for you? Would you do reality TV again or do you feel like you're done with that arena?
You know, I have gotten some requests from some different TV shows.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And I've turned them down so far because they've been dating shows. And I just don't know, like, I truly am so ready to, like, find my person. And I don't know that, like, it's so rare that, like, people actually do find their soulmate on TV. So I'm like, do I want to put myself through that again? I don't know. But would love to do, like, a challenge-based show or something like that. But for now, I'm really just like trying to build my own empire and focus on myself.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Well, we think you're doing a really good job with building your empire and focusing on yourself. I feel like what I took away from you from, especially after watching you on Perfect Match and also your social media, is you're absolutely like a girl's girl. And I feel like you could tell that you've just learned a lot from this experience. So we're so proud of you and we're so happy you came on Out of the Pod. So thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Pod besties, let us know if you have any questions for Madison that we could pass on to her. But make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.